I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Of the foreign policy dilemmas that face the Obama administration, none is more vexing than Iran. The Iranians say their nuclear program is for peaceful purposes, but Western countries suspect it could be used to make nuclear bombs, and neither the U.S. nor Israel has ruled out military action if Iran fails to heed U.N. Security Council demands to freeze key nuclear programs. Today, delegates from the United States and other world powers met with representatives from Iran in Geneva. The BBC's James Reynolds is at that meeting. What is the goal overall of the meeting, James?
Lisa, the goal, according to negotiators I've spoken to, is incredibly simple. They say Iran has to live up to its obligations, and those obligations are that it signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and that it has to explain what on earth it's doing, enriching so much uranium. Essentially, that's the key point.
All right. Well, Iran is there at the meetings right now. How are they going, and how's Iran responding?
Well, we've been told that the meetings are constructive. We, of course, usually hear that when there are big meetings like this. It was rather interesting at the start. Baroness Ashton, who's leading the negotiations for the EU and the UN Security Council, went and she bumped into Saeed Jalili in the corridor. He's the main negotiator for the Iranians, and they sort of nodded formally at each other. She didn't offer a handshake because for religious and political reasons, he wouldn't have been able to take her hand. And so they walked and then stood in front of some flags at a rather respectful distance. You could have fitted about three people in between them with the distance that they had. And we're told that they had constructive talks, but here's the key point. Nobody is expecting any kind of breakthrough. This is a problem which has been going on since 2002, 8 years. We've had four rounds of sanctions in the United Nations. Nobody thinks that 2 days of talks here in Geneva amid the frozen hills of Switzerland are going to end the problem.
Well, it's unlikely that this is a coincidence, but Iran announced yesterday it has established its own domestic supply of yellow cake. This is presumably a significant announcement, and as we said, timing is everything. First, tell us what yellow cake is.
Yellow cake is a raw material needed in order to make enriched uranium. Enriched uranium can be used for civilian purposes, but it can also be the first step towards building a nuclear bomb. That's why people are so worried about yellow cake. Now, foreign countries are not allowed to sell Iran yellow cake at the moment. That's in one of the United Nations sanctions resolutions against Iran. So Iran has tried to mine its own yellow cake from inside its borders. It was delighted to announce just yesterday that it's got enough yellow cake to get started. So symbolically, politically, that's a hugely important point. But Lisa, here's the problem for Iran. Practically, it may not make that much difference because experts we've been speaking to suggest that Iran simply does not have enough of its own uranium inside its own mines and its own borders to be self-sufficient to make enough uranium that essentially they're going to have to carry on looking outside their borders for yellow cake.
All right, James, while the talks are going slowly there where you are in Geneva, it appears that somebody is taking more direct action. There are cyber attacks on Iran's nuclear program, and there has been, as you know, the assassination of some scientists on the streets of Tehran. To what extent are these incidents coming up in the discussions in Geneva?
We know that the assassination of one scientist last week and the serious injury to a second, they were mentioned by Iran right in the first statement of their chief negotiator, Saeed Jalili. And we know that's really important to Iran. I've just been skimming some official Iranian websites, and that's really the lead story of the talks. Iran, as soon as these scientists were killed, made an allegation. Western intelligence agencies were responsible for the attacks on the two men. We understand that Iran did not repeat that accusation in the talks, but it mentioned the fact that the gentlemen were killed, and we understand Baroness Ashton for the European Union said that she condemned the attack unreservedly. In terms of the Stuxnet virus, this virus that apparently stopped some of Iran's centrifuges from working, we don't know whether that was talked about.
All right. The BBC's James Reynolds at the nuclear talks with Iran in Geneva. Nice to have you on the program. Thank you.
My pleasure.